Well, if you have your Bible with you, turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. This is what we're going to be looking at this morning for our sermon. I know that last week I wasn't here as I was with the college students out of town. And before that, we've been going through this new series in the book of Ecclesiastes, and yet I thought this morning we would pause in our series on Ecclesiastes to take some time to look at Psalm 91. If you're like me, Psalm 91 is a part of Scripture that you've been reading a lot recently. It's one that I've been reading a lot recently because it speaks very clearly and directly to what we're dealing with right now, and it not only addresses the types of things we're dealing with right now, but it also guides us in how we should respond to those types of things as well. The sermon outline has been emailed to you. It's also been posted on Facebook yesterday with the order of worship. So look for it. You'll see the outline. Then you'll also see the cross-references and quotations. I'm going to read the entirety of Psalm 91 from the New King James Version. Let's give our attention. This is God's holy and perfect word. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 16. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that brings us to the end here of Psalm 91. As usual, may the Lord bless his word to all of you as we consider it together this morning. Well, as you know, the coronavirus is currently wreaking havoc throughout our world. It is now in most, if not all, of the world's countries. It has sickened well over 250,000 people. Last I heard, roughly 11,000 or more of those people have also died from it. And as you know, the World Health Organization has recently declared that the coronavirus is a pandemic, and more likely than not, though we don't know for sure, it's only going to be getting worse before it gets better. And so what we have right now in the world are a lot of frightened people. People who feel insecure, people who feel unsafe. In a word, we have a lot of people who are concerned. People who are looking for safety. And most likely, at least to some degree, you are like those people. You also are struggling with fear right now and struggling with worry. And so you also are wanting safety. And wanting security, longing to have peace and comfort in the midst of all of this. And as you probably could tell, just as we read Psalm 91, Psalm 91 is exactly what we need for this kind of situation. Because not only is Psalm 91 honest with us about the dangers of life, say, for instance, the deadly pestilence, but Psalm 91 also points us to where we can find safety in the midst of all this danger. And what it says is this: God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Another way of saying that would be God is where we can find the peace and the safety and the comfort we are all longing to experience right now. Ultimately, we can only find that in the Lord. And so what we need to do then, more than anything else at this particular time in our lives, is look to God for that refuge. Look to God for that refuge. And so that's the main point I want you to see from Psalm 91 this morning. As you live in this dangerous world, you need to find your refuge in the Lord. That's the main point I want you to see. As you live in this dangerous world, find your refuge in the Lord. Well, let's look now at the text. As you can see on the outline, there are 3 points I want you to consider. And the first one is, in this life, you need a place of refuge. In this life, you need a place of refuge. So if you look throughout the psalm, the obvious implication is this point, isn't it? We need a place of refuge in this life. In the New King James Version, the word refuge is mentioned 3 times in the psalm. But then also the idea of refuge is referred to many other times through other synonyms. So we see words like secret place, words like shadow of the Almighty, fortress, under his wings, and so forth. We could go on. These are all communicating the same point, namely, we need a place of refuge in this life. Right? We need a place of safety. We need a place that gives us peace and comfort. And of course, the reason we need a place of refuge in this life is because, as the psalm also tells us, we live in a dangerous world. If you look at verse 3, the psalmist mentions the snare of the fowler, that's a bird trap, and the perilous pestilence. In verse 5, he mentions the terrors by night, the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that walks in the darkness, and the destruction that lays waste at noonday. In verse 10, evil is spoken of, as well as the plague of destruction again. And then in verses 12 and 13, we see that there are stones to avoid stumbling over and lions and snakes to be protected from. Now, that's mostly figurative language. Bird traps, for instance, are not our greatest concern in this life necessarily. But the point to see is clear, isn't it? We live in a dangerous world. We live in a world where there is suffering, where people suffer, where people die. We live in a world where enemies attack, where sickness can strike, where jobs and homes can be lost. As the psalmist rightly describes for us, we live in a world where there is a great threat of danger. And what's worse is that the threat of danger, the psalmist tells us, is constant. It's constant. Both day and night, as we see in verses 5 and 6, there is the presence of danger. In other words, there's no escaping the possibility of these dangers coming to fruition in our lives. And you realize, even when the coronavirus is no longer a concern of ours, no longer on the news, no longer on our minds, the dangers are all still there. The dangers are all still there. We could be the ones with cancer. We could be the ones in the car accident. And then on top of that, the dangers could come at any moment. Like the fowler's snare snatches the bird before he sees it coming, the reality of life is that these dangers could break into our lives without any warning. So we could be healthy one day, for instance, and yet that does not mean we will be the next day. If you look at the outline I've given you, James chapter 4, verses 13 and 15 says this: "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So as for what will happen tomorrow, we don't know. The Bible says only God knows. But what we do know is what the Bible tells us, and that is what we see here in Psalm 91, which is, as we live in this fallen world, sickness and suffering and loss are very real and present dangers. And that's being highlighted for us right now with the virus. We're seeing that clearly, are we not? But even when we aren't seeing that clearly, when it's not being highlighted for us by something like the coronavirus, this is always the case so long as we live in this world. And if we're honest with ourselves, these dangers can be frightening. As I mentioned earlier, people all over the world right now are frightened by this coronavirus. People are worried that they will contract it. People are worried what effect it will have on their lives or on the lives of other people if they contract it. Because what do we know about the coronavirus right now? We know that it's everywhere, in every single state of our country, even here in Indiana. We know that it's invisible. It's an unseen disease that we cannot detect, at least to the normal person and to the normal eye, until it's too late. And we know that it's potentially deadly as well. This is why, is it not? So many people are scared of the virus and worried that they will contract it. It's because the virus is dangerous. It's dangerous. And whenever you come face to face with something that is dangerous, how do you feel? You feel powerless. You feel vulnerable. You feel exposed and unsafe. And so what do you need in that time? You need a place of refuge. As Psalm 91 tells us, you need a place where you can rest in safety and have peace instead of being worried and afraid. And thankfully, as we come to our second point on the outline, there is a place of refuge for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's go back now to the beginning of the psalm and read again the first two verses. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. And as we look at the rest of the psalm, we see there are six reasons why God is a place of refuge for us. And so let's briefly go through each of these six reasons. The first one is this, and that is, God is a place of refuge for us because God is the sovereign Lord of the universe. He's the sovereign Lord of the universe. We just read about this in verses 1 and 2. He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. He is the Lord. In other words, He is the most powerful one in the world, and He is ultimately the one who is in control of the world. Right? He's the ruling king. He's the one over the universe, and even the enemies are under His authority. Right? We can find safety in Him because He's the sovereign Lord, the ruling king of the universe. Second, God is a place of refuge because God keeps His people safe. God keeps His people safe. This is brought out for us in many verses here in Psalm 91. Look at verse 3. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Then verses 14 and 15, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Those are precious promises, aren't they? Those are promises that many people right now are looking at over and over. But remember, we have to understand, these are promises that are meant to be taken figuratively, not literally. Because if we think that Psalm 91 is telling us Christians will not contract the coronavirus or that we will never suffer or get sick, we're only going to be disappointed. Our own experience tells us that that's not the case, let alone the entirety of Scripture. Now, to be sure, God can deliver us from the actual danger, and he can keep us safe physically. In fact, he often does that for his people, but that is not, I'm sorry, what he's promising here. The promise here is actually of something better, and it's the promise of spiritual protection. Commentator David Dixon explains it well as he says this. He says, "The believer is not exempted by his faith from trouble, but he is exempted from being taken, overcome, and destroyed by it." In other words, those who trust God are delivered not necessarily from the pestilence itself, but from the evil of the pestilence and from fear of the pestilence. That's what's being promised here. What's more, the believer's soul is secure throughout all of the danger. And regardless of what happens to us in the danger, for those who trust God, heaven is always what's waiting for us. Look at the very end of the psalm, verse 16. "With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." God is a place of refuge for us because he keeps his people safe. Third, God is a place of refuge for us because God works everything for the good of his people. Look at verses 9 and 10. "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you." To put it another way, while it may seem like evil is happening to you, Scripture says it's not in the grand scheme of things if you're a child of God. Why? Because God is working that evil for your good. Joseph, of course, in the book of Genesis, knew this to be the case, didn't he? As his brothers betrayed him, as his brothers sold him into slavery to the Egyptians, Joseph knew, as he said in the book of Genesis, "You," speaking of his brothers, "you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's true for you as well. At all times, whatever is happening in your life, even at death, others may be intending it as evil towards you, but God is overruling it always for your good. I've given you a quote from Charles Spurgeon on your outline. It's a bit of a longer quote, longer than I typically would read in a sermon, but I find it to be very comforting, and I'm sure you will as well. Here Spurgeon says, "It is impossible that any ill should happen to the man who is beloved of the Lord. The most crushing calamities can only shorten his journey and hasten him to his reward," speaking of heaven. "Ill to him," the believer, "is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honor. Death is his gain. No evil," he goes on to say, "no evil in the strict sense of the word can happen to him, for everything is overruled for good. Happy is he who is in such a case. He is secure where others are in peril. He lives where others die." Fourth, God is a place of refuge because he protects his people with his angels. Now, verses 11 and 12. "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." According to Hebrews 1:14, angels are ministering spirits sent forth by God to care for his people. Right? That is one of the ways God protects us and provides for us, is through the work of his unseen angels. Now, they have been charged with our care, the Bible says, to keep us in all of our ways. The angels are fighting against evil on our behalf. The angels are supplying us with what we need, sent from God to care for us. Fifth, God is a place of refuge for us because God empowers his people to overcome the enemy. Look at verse 13. "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." Again, this is speaking figuratively, but it's speaking of our spiritual enemies, of the ones who try to destroy our faith, the ones who try to fill us with fear and worry. God says we are able to crush them under our feet, as it were. That is, we can resist their temptations, and we can remain firm in the Lord. Right? God gives us this as we look to Him and trust in Him. And then finally, sixth here, God is a place of refuge because God is always with His people. Look at verse 15, the middle of the verse. God says, I will be with him in trouble. It's in trouble, is it not, where we most often feel as if God has left us. But here we're reminded that that is never the case. If you're a believer, God has not, nor will he ever leave you. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In other words, God is not just with us in our troubles, but he is with us to help us in our troubles. He's with us to give us the grace we need to endure. He's with us to give us the courage we need to face our fears and the peace we need to have comfort in the midst of our danger. Again, Charles Spurgeon says, God is always near in sympathy and in power to help his tried ones. And so for all of these reasons, Psalm 91 says God is a place of refuge for us, for his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a place of refuge for you to enjoy all of the time. You may remember back in 2014, when Africa was dealing with the outbreak of Ebola. And at the time, it was in West Africa, where the majority of the Ebola cases were taking place. And so many people who were living in West Africa were trying to get to other parts of Africa where there was not as much disease. For instance, many of them were trying to make it down to South Africa. But that was a long journey. Roughly 1,800 miles. And so what ended up happening is that not everyone who wanted to go there ended up making it there. Due to factors like age or lack of finances, many of those people were unable to go. And so what that meant is that many of those people had no place of safety in the midst of all that danger. And friends, so it would be for you and me as well if Jesus Christ had not come into this world. We would not have a place of refuge in this life. But you realize that's not the case. We do have a place of refuge. Why? Because Jesus Christ did come into this world. And through our faith in the Lord Jesus, the Bible says we have God as our refuge. Every single one of us who believes in the Lord. We are able to go to that place of safety no matter how much money we have or don't have, no matter how far the distance seems to be. If we know the Lord Jesus, we have God as our refuge, and so we can go to that safe place all day, every day. All of us can make it there. Why? Because when Jesus came into this world, he also tread upon the lion and the cobra, trampling them under his feet. Which is a way of saying he came and defeated the evil one through his death on the cross. And you see, he did it for us so that we could be brought to the Lord. And so Psalm 91, what it's telling you, brothers and sisters, is that through Christ, you have God as your refuge. And if you have God as your refuge, then you have no reason to fear right now. As we read in verse 5, when you have the Lord as your refuge, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. There's no reason to fear if you have God as your refuge. And so as we come now to our third and final point on the outline, you and I, we need to take refuge in God as we live in this dangerous world. So as we just saw, as believers in Christ, we have refuge in God Almighty. He keeps us safe spiritually as we live in this dangerous world, and that is true for every single believer in Christ. But here's the thing. If that's true, why is it then that we are so often fearful? Well, it's not because we don't have a place of safety. We've already seen we do have a place of safety, all of us, as believers. But we're so often fearful because we're often not looking for safety in the right place. And that's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference between being fearful in the midst of danger and having peace in the midst of danger. You see, many of us respond to danger by turning to the wrong place for refuge. We look to other things to give us a sense of peace and safety. So, for instance, in the case of the coronavirus, many are looking to things like frequent hand washing, social distancing, stockpiling toilet paper to keep them safe, which, hear me, are not bad things to do. We should be doing many of those things. But at the same time, we need to be clear, none of those things are our refuge. None of those things give us the safety we're longing for. Right? They will never satisfy our needs. They will never quell our fears. Now, they may take the edge off. We may feel better if we wash our hands every 5 minutes. We may feel like we're protected from the virus. But no matter how many times we wash our hands, no matter how much toilet paper we have in our house, none of that will give us the real and lasting peace we want right now. Why is that? Because only God is our refuge. And there's nothing else that can take God's place. And so in response to all of these dangers, we need to find our safety in God. And go back and look at verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, it's when we find our refuge in God, that is when we will also find our peace in the storm. One author has said, he who makes God his refuge shall find him a refuge. And so we have to find our refuge in the Lord. We have to look to him for that safety. And so how do we do that? How do we find safety in the Lord? Well, first of all, you need to trust God. You need to trust God. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. We have to make that conscious decision that I will trust God in this moment and not anything else. But more than that, you need to trust God's word. Look at verse 4, the end of the verse. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Some other translations say faithfulness instead of truth. That's the idea. God is faithful to his truth. And God's faithfulness to his truth, the psalm says, is like a shield and buckler. Right? That is, it protects us from harm and enables us to withstand attack. Paul says in Ephesians 6:16, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith in God's unbreakable word, you see, is what will keep you from fear and worry and doubt. That is what will strengthen your faith. That is what will keep your knees from knocking. That is what will spiritually protect you from all of the danger around you. And so if you want to have peace in the midst of what's going on right now, you have got to be in the Word of God day after day. You have got to let God's truth direct your thoughts and guide your actions. You need a frequent and constant intake of the Word of God, remembering His truths, remembering His promises, and applying them to your particular situation. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Notice that, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. When you're trusting in God and in his word, you will have perfect peace. And then second, how do we find our safety in the Lord? You need to call upon him in prayer. Look at down at verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. So like the promises of God, seeking the Lord in prayer is also a means of grace for you in this dangerous world. When you're fearful, he will grant you peace through prayer. And prayer will strengthen your faith. Prayer will comfort your heart. You realize prayer could even be the means God uses to deliver you from the danger. Psalm 50 verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." So putting these two things together, if you want to enjoy refuge and safety in the Lord, then you need to cling to the Lord. You need to abide closely with him. Because as Psalm 91 tells us, it is only those who choose to trust God, who make God their refuge, and who love and know him. It's only those people who get to experience his peace and his comfort. In other words, when you stay close to the Lord through prayer and through the word of God, and when you are constantly looking to him for refuge, that is when you will experience all of these blessings. That is when your fears will be quelled. That is when your hearts will be calmed and when you will have courage in all of this turmoil. Again, Charles Spurgeon is helpful on this. He says, "The more closely we cling to our Almighty Father, the more confident may we be." Many of you know, it was right before I left with the college students for their spring break trip last week that everything started to be canceled because of the virus. Purdue had just announced that they were going to suspend all in-person classes for the time being. The Big Ten tournament had just been called off. The NBA and the NHL had just postponed the rest of their seasons. Conferences were being canceled. And so it was just all these things were coming together. We were getting ready to leave, and yet everything was starting to close down at the same time. And so because of that, I then had to make this decision. Were we going to go on this trip, or were we not going to go on this trip? And that then meant that I had to make many, many phone calls. I had to do a lot of research about what was going on. I had to talk to the students and so forth. And so what ended up happening is that I could hardly get anything else done. An entire week leading up to the spring break trip. Now, the coronavirus, it seemed, had completely taken over my life. And friends, if you're not careful, it will do the same thing for you if it hasn't already. Right? The news is always talking about it. Always. You look at social media, it's always there. And so if all you do right now is watch the news, if all you do right now is scroll on Facebook and so forth, you are going to be inundated with the coronavirus. And it will try to take over your life. But here's the thing. If you want any kind of peace right now, you can't let this virus take over your life. You can't watch the news all day, every day, and be on Facebook and yet expect to have peace. Now, sure, watch the news. Yes, that's fine. Learn about what's going on. But no matter what, and we all have the time for this right now because we're all at home, don't let it take away from your time in the Word and from your time on your knees. Because if you want to feel safe, and if you want to feel secure, which all of us do, you have got to be in the Word, and you have got to be in the prayer. You need God right now more than you need anything else. And if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him, you have God, and he is your place of refuge. David Dixon again is helpful. He says, "The true remedy against tormenting fear is faith in God." So as you deal with the dangers of this world, and with the coronavirus in particular, look to God for safety. Make the Lord Jesus your trust. Stay close to God in Scripture and in prayer, because he is the one, the only one, who can truly calm your heart and take away your fears. So as you live in this dangerous world, find your refuge in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we do ask that you would give us your grace. We pray that you would strengthen our faith in you, that you would use your word, in particular use Psalm 91, to draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray for those who are watching this live stream this morning, that if there are any who don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, they would find you through this. Lord, draw them close to you. Give them faith. Lord, for all of us, help us to make sure that we are in the Bible more than anything else right now, that we are letting your truth affect our thoughts and our reactions to what's going on in the world around us. Lord, help us to be those who prioritize prayer as well, by ourselves and with our families, even as a congregation. Lord, help us to stay close to you, and may we find you to be our refuge, the one who is keeping us safe, the one who is with us and protecting us. Thank you, Lord, that we have you even now. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.